Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I am doing pretty good.
Hold on. Do you hear that?
What's that?
Sad news, everyone.
Sad news.
Well, you should know. Joe's daughter has run away from home.
She has. And the first thing she did upon...
And it only took her 22, 3, 4...
No, she did run away to Madison, which wasn't far enough.
Oh.
But she did finally make it to Italy. Upon the first thing doing upon her arrival is apparently somebody spilled water and destroyed her phone. So.
Oh.
So she's been giving us updates via email. Speaking of email.
Still without a phone.
I have an email from Mike, that guy in the hat for Gone. One of the members. One of the members of the Midwest Comic Book Association. And he sends this note out to everybody. It says, to all of our guests, fans, volunteers that have reached out to us with Nick's tragic and untimely passing, first let me say thank you. We've had an incredible outpouring of offers to aid and assist, ranging from whatever it takes to anything regarding Nick's family and the MCBA. The compassion and commitment that you are demonstrating for Nick and all the work that he did is truly moving, a moving testimony to how much he meant to us all. Second, let me reassure you that the MCBA isn't going anywhere. We are just as committed to you as keeping the MCBA going strong and working to make FallCon and the newly christened MSP Comic-Con, formerly SpringCon, the coolest comic conventions out there with that special touch of snazzy that Nick was so good at bringing. Third, you should all know that right now the MCBA is doing everything they can to pick up the threads where Nick left off and trying to make this as smooth a transition as possible. As most of you know, Nick was a one-man band when it came to the con, which made things convenient and easy for just about everyone. Unfortunately, it's become an Achilles heel in light of his passing. Now we're working, and they're working, on trying to find passwords, getting online emails, contact accounts, transferring, finding files on his computer, going through paperwork, etc. We're making progress, and we all know that FallCon is fast approaching, so we're not sitting back, just the opposite. We're hustling to get up to speed as fast as we can. So while we appreciate all the offers to help, what we need now is a little time. That, folks, they ain't got. As we plan to get together, we absolutely will work for people to do. We will have work for people to do, and we'll not hesitate to dole that work out to you that have offered to help. And that's where we are, plain and simple. We're picking up the pieces, putting them back together as best we can. More updates on the way. Again, that was from Mike, that guy in the hat for Gone. Because as you know, it's still coming. FallCon Comic Book Party, Saturday, October 4th, 2014, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., the one-day wonder. 240 minutes of extreme comic book action. And I'm going to say it again because I like saying extreme that way. Extreme! It'll be at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Education Building. 26 years of comic book action and still going strong. Keep online at www.midwestcomicbook.com. And, of course, as soon as we hear stuff, we will pass it on to you, the two of our faithful viewers. There's it up to three now. We got quite a few emails there.
Hundreds, ladies and gentlemen, hundreds.
Yeah, but most of them are just ads to see if you can, increase your staying power.
Hey, if they want to listen to the show, they can listen to the show.
Sure.
I don't go by emails. Our listeners just want to sit and listen. I go by downloads.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And, baby, we get downloaded.
Woohoo. I feel so. If I'd have known we were going to be downloaded, I would have put on a pants.
Don't put on pants. You never do it.
That or is that.
So, it's been a while.
It has?
And you know who else it's been a while since we've heard it from?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors. Crazy Comics and Stories is brought to you by DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. If you need a web page, go to DreamHost. It's what we use to get you this free podcast every week. Okay, maybe not every week. Okay, most weeks. Some weeks we do two or three, but still, it's the one we use. And you can use it too. Just go to DreamHost.com, enter the code CRAZY, and get $20 off your first year. Graze.com is fresh, healthy snacks delivered to your door. And if you use the code CORYS3R5P, your first box is free, and your fifth box. So that's CORYS3R5P for healthy snacks delivered to you at a low price. Do you need to shave? If so, you're probably paying too much for blades. So, go to Dollar Shave Club to get great blades at a cheap price and use the code CRAZY for a discount. It's dollarshaveclub.com/CRAZY. If you'd like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories, you can. Just send us an email at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject to advertising. We'd also like to hear from you, the listener. As you can tell, when we get a question, we answer it. So you can reach us at corey.strode@gmail.com, at our Facebook page, which is Crazy Comics and Stuff, because Joe couldn't remember the name of the show, or you can leave us a message at 952-856-0519. Now, the best advertising we can do is for you, our listener, to tell your friends. Tell everybody you know. Tell everybody you've met. Walk up to people on the street and say, hey, have you listened to Crazy Comics and Stories? So, let people know. Thanks!
Well, it's nice to know they're still sticking with us.
That's right.
Or they're stuck on us.
And we were running an ad for Jamie's Avengers. I want to give a brief update on that. The 10K run or walk, depending on who was doing it, raised over $10,000 for cancer research.
Wow.
So congratulations to them. And even though they advertised on the Comic Geek Speak show, because it's the guys from Comic Geek Speak, I like to think that we're the ones who put them over $10,000,
yes.
That it's our listeners.
At least
that.
12 cents.
So if you're looking to advertise, hit me up, baby. Hit me up.
All right.
It's also been a while since we've talked funny books and fun.
Just anything.
So why don't we get caught up, Joe?
Oh.
What the hell have you been doing?
Well, when last we spoke, I was getting ready to go on vacation. And before we did, I went with my loving daughter, Holly. And we went down to the Minnesota Historical Center. And they have a display going on now. It's called the Minnesota History Center. It's run by the Minnesota History Society or whatever they want to call themselves. They're running a program, an exhibit called Toys of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It was a virtual who's who of toys I not only played with growing up, but collector stuff that I sold in my shop. And it was just fantastic. The Minnesota Historical Society, it's on 345 West Kellogg Boulevard, or for those of you who are challenged, it's between the state capitol and the cathedral. So it's very easy to get to. Some of the things, I mean, I took tons of pictures of stuff we saw, and I'm just going to flip through. Some of the cooler things we saw, we found a Colorform Batman cartoon kit. Colorform, for those of you that are probably of the 90s persuasion, was a thing where you had this, what you would call it. It was kind of a static cling board with a scene on it, usually at Gotham Skyline. And what you would do is you take these little vinyl pieces of very thin pieces, and you put together like Robin's body, Robin's head, Robin's leg, Batman's Robin, you know, head, things like that. Colorform was kind of like all sorts of things. And to see a Batman one in complete shape was incredible. Just a lot of fun. They had Slinky. They had Jarts, which if you know, if Corey and I probably should have killed ourselves as kids playing with these things. basically
killed other people.
Lawn darts that
I threw them at.
You could, yeah, you could do some serious damage if you threw them the wrong way. Rock'em Sock'em Robots were there. They had an ad for the Wild World of Skateboarding, which had very young Farrah Fawcett Majors in there. A bunch of stickers from Gotham City, Joker, the Batman Batmobile set. It was a fun exhibit. I'm just kind of flipping through all the pictures now looking for any comic book related stuff. I mean, a lot of Hot Wheels, a lot of Matchboxes, G.I. Joes, the vintage guys with the, you know, the one hand that was like a U and the other hand that was like a pointy thing so you could, you know, actually hold a rifle. They had a video arcade with Pong in it. Sadly, you couldn't play it, which was really too bad. They had some of the Star Wars figures set up on that plastic, tray thing. You know, you could put the Jawa and the Death Squad commander and Vader and Sand People and all those guys on there. They had a Millennium Falcon in the box, the original one. Actually, I think it was out of the box because they actually showed the thing there. They had the original, Dungeons and Dragons set.
Oh, wow.
74. It had four pamphlets. It was kind of cool to see. A few toys you could play with, such as the Pillsbury Doughboy. You could poke them. A lot more that you couldn't play with. Like they had the $6 million man and the Bionic Woman set. They had Weebles. Cause you can, you know, they wobble and you can't fall down. Some of it was kind of cool. Like a pile of games. They had, Speed Buggy Game, the Emergency Game from the TV show with the Man Tooth, the Bionic Woman game, Star Wars game, Beretta game. They had a Pet Rock, the Evel Knievel stunt set, if you remember those things. They had they called them Bend'em and Flex from Mego. They were, probably about 5 inch tall. They had, Aquaman from 1972. This was before they came out with the bendable ones that we all knew and loved, you know, such as the Amazing Spider-Man, which they had. They had a Captain Action with a Batman suit. They had some of the problem toys, such as Clackers, if you remember those. They actually made a comeback a little bit. They're basically strings with two giant balls on the end, and you're supposed to go up and down and click-clack the spears together. But you could do some very serious injury with them if you weren't careful. Last thing I'll blurb on and on about, they had a, from 1960, Marvel Superheroes Mark set. These were like a little bit bigger than your little, plastic, army guys. And they had, Hulk and Thor and Iron Man. I remember selling a few of them very early in the shop, but these things are hard to find. They had some Marks kits, the Superman, the Hulk, as well as, like I said, Mego figures, almost the entire Batman guys. So, it was a fun time to go through just to check everything out. And it's going on. Let's see. I don't know if they have a, on through January 4th, 2015.
So. Oh, so I got plenty.
Yeah, I got plenty of time. They're not open Monday, but, it's like $11 to get in and, they have all sorts of discounts if you're active military, children, things like that. Plus, once you're in, you can see the rest of the museum, and there's quite a bit to see. Some of it is, you know, obviously Minnesota History Center. Some of it's quite parochial in how it's presented, so you may not – you, Corey, may not get as much thrill out of it as someone like me who's lived here all my life. That was Tuesday. Saturday, we went down and saw the Paul McCartney concert. You know, for an old fart, that guy can really rock. I'm telling you, it was fantastic.
Now, I got to ask, how much were tickets to this?
You know, I don't even remember because what it was is a friend of ours bought them. He kind of did, hey, who's in? And this was like back in January or March before I was off the road. And I think Chris said, yeah, let's do it. And he bought the tickets. My guess was probably 150, maybe more.
Okay.
And we had pretty good seats.
Here's why. Paul McCartney, a Beatle who has not been in Minnesota for years.
Yeah.
probably the most influential living musician on the planet. $150.
Well, next,
it's a lot of money,
next to,
but can understand it.
Oh, yeah.
Beyonce, $500 a ticket, according to one of my coworkers.
Ugh. Yeah,
Paul McCartney's a bargain, folks.
If you probably got down onto the main field and close, the tickets were probably higher of that range. But, you know, we went with, four other friends and, I mean, you're talking 3 hours plus nonstop, you know, Beatles song, Wings song, some of his new stuff. It was just phenomenal. I mean, I've seen a couple old folks concerts, you know, Elton John, Sting, Paul Simon, but Paul McCartney was phenomenal. Easily the top, if not the top 10, top 5, top 3, maybe the top concert I've ever seen. I picked up some bling. I picked up like one of those fake gate passes that get you backstage. I got the book, the Out There tour. My wife picked up a t-shirt. I picked up a button set. I mean, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, a great time at all. Topped off by the next night, we went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Incredible. And I mean, I saw it a week after everybody else and I did not get any spoilers from it. Thank you, everybody. And, I think Corey and I are going to talk more about that in the next, podcast. Is it going to
be yes.
a special
We're
episode?
Go over it in deep
with a fine tooth comb, which is really funny considering I have no hair on my head at the moment. I'm a bald boy. After Guardians of the Galaxy, and my wife went too, and she enjoyed it. So that was saying something, and she was able to follow along. At least I think she was. I'll ask her about it next week. After that, we started our week vacation. For those of you who read Neil Gaiman or read Neil Gaiman's American Gods, you'll appreciate this. We went down to House on the Rock, looked for a few shadows, spent a few tokens. Phenomenal, incredible place. Definitely worth visiting at least once in your lifetime. Twice, well, there were a number of new things, you know, that were there when we got there. You know, for example, they have a Japanese garden now that they did not have the last time we were down there. So, and some of it was kind of interesting. They have a nice room based on, it's the Alex Jordan, what you would call it. It's a big exhibit talking about his life, how he got interested in this place, how he built it, how he finally gave in and said, fine, $1 to come in, 50 cents for kids. And he just kept building on it ever since. 1 year before his death, he sold House on the Rock to Art and Karen Donaldson's, who since 1989 have maintained and further developed House on the Rock. So they're always going to try to bring in new stuff. So, definitely worth checking out. We stayed at the inn and nearby is beautiful Spring Green, Wisconsin. Beautiful little small town. We checked out a number of places. First place we stopped at was called Freddie Valentine's, which was a restaurant built into a bank. It's an old historic bank, complete with vault and everything. The outside looks just like an old bank building. It says State Bank of Spring Green. But on the inside, it was a fantastic restaurant, good food to check it out. Down the road was Arcadia Books. And you know me, I love to go to a bookstore. This was a combination bookstore cafe. Awesome atmosphere, really good books. I mean, I think that's the type of place Chris and I want to run, you know, if we ever retire, just a little book cafe store in a small town. They had a couple books on comics. They had one on, that, 1001 comics you must read before you die. And there was one other one. I thought about picking them up, but I settled and picked up a book called Gulp, The Adventures on the Elementary Canal by Mary Roach. Basically, it's an unforgettable tour of our insides. In Gulp, we meet scientists who tackle the questions no one else thinks of or has the courage to. Why is crunchy food so appealing? Why is it so hard to find names of flavors and smells? How much can you eat before you burst? Can constipation kill you? Did it kill Elvis? Haven't read it yet, but we did. I think we dropped about $60 on books and coffee and food and stuff. So that was kind of fun. Just checking out a small bookstore. We took a trip. Now that was basically kind of in southern middle Wisconsin. From there, we drove all the way up to the North Shore of Minnesota, which was quite a drive. To keep my wife happy, we stopped at a winery, and it was, Wolfsheim Winery in Sugarloaf Bluff, Wisconsin. And it was set up around 1940. It was basically an immigrant, just passed from family to family. They have the current group, the family, Robert and Joanne Wolfsheim have purchased the property and renamed it against, for themselves, the, kind of narcissistic, if you ask me, but they did that in 72 and they've basically kind of turned it into, type of place you'd find maybe in a region of France or so. And of course with wine, my daughter, Dana, and my wife tried wine. She bought quite a bit. Now, if you remember most of the tours I take, when she's allowed to do wine, I'm allowed to stop at a comic store. So I found one. Halfway between the winery and Duluth, Minnesota is Galaxy Comics and Games. It's Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Really cool building. An old brick building they're converting. It's one half retail, the other half gaming store. And I let the girls, we came in and we browsed around. The guy, the owner, Chris Randazzo, if I pronounce it right, very friendly guy. You know, wanted to make sure we had any questions. He's very engaging with all his customers. Dana bought a Detective Comics 34. We bought two copies, Original Sin 5.3, the one with, Thor and Loki, the 10th realm. And he asks us about that. And basically, you know, Dana and I don't share our comics. So she got a copy and I got a copy. For Holly, I bought Rocket, Raccoon, and Groot. It's a complete collection. And people, I'm telling you, go out. If you don't have the originals, go out and buy this, because this has everything up through the last, not the current, but the last, I think it was Annihilators 1 through 4 and Earthfall 1 through 4 that have stuff to do with Rocket Raccoon and Groot. And it also includes the original Rocket Raccoon miniseries, the Incredible Hulk appearance, a Marvel Previews number 7, which I believe is Rocket Raccoon's first appearance. And then, of course, Tales to Astonish number 13, 1959, that has Groot's first appearance. This is in a very nice paperback. And I also picked up another omnibus. I picked up for half price, and again, I don't know if he's selling it this way because he bought it from Marvel or he's just getting it off his shelves. Fantastic Four by John Byrne, Volume 1.
Oh, those, they clearanced those out.
Oh, good.
At some point, about a year ago, I think.
And actually, I bought it for $59.99, and that was actually a pretty good price. I was actually about either what I'd buy it for or less on eBay.
So, yeah.
And I'll get into geeking a little later, but I read about half of it. And I enjoy these stories. I don't have them in my collection. And now I just got to wait and find a cheap copy of number 2.
Good luck.
Yeah. On the way, well, I'm not gonna, we spent a couple days on the North Shore of Minnesota. I absolutely love it. Unfortunately, Holly got a little sick that day. My theory is because there was a picture of statue. I think his name is Hoyte in House on the Rock, and he says, rub his belly for luck. Well, Holly did not rub his belly for luck. And
so she had bad luck.
She got bad luck and got sick. So while Chris, that morning, Chris and Dana went out and, they went down to I think a place called Moose Mud or Muddy Moose on the scenic part of Highway 61 between Duluth and Two Harbors. Cause you know, my wife needs coffee. So when they came back, Chris was like, why don't you and Dana take off? And we looked at each other, comic shop. We finally got to Collector's Connection in Duluth.
There you go.
2220 Mountain Shadow Drive in the Village Square Shopping Center. Last time I was up there, the store was closed because they were closed on Sunday. I had visited the other one in Duluth the last time we were up there, and because they're open Sunday, Monday, I think maybe Collector's Connection decided to open Sunday, Monday. Don't know that for a fact. Didn't care. All I know is I'm glad they were there. Again, friendly guy, actually saw a Falcon flyer up there, and I picked up a number of odd things from him. I did pick up a Batman graphic novel for Dana. I think it was like about $30. I'm not sure what it was because she took it with her to Italy. So I'll have to wait till she gets back before I get a chance to read it. The coolest thing they had on the wall was a signed copy of one of the Jack Kirby volumes, hardcover. That reprints, I think, the magazine, if I'm not mistaken, signed by Jack Kirby. He's one, and I was like, wow. But I basically, gritted down and I bought a couple things. I talked about a couple podcasts ago. I received through Kickstarter Clint Helsinki's, Pirate Queen. Well, up in Duluth, they had copies of Bad Guy, Clint, Helsinki. There, maybe that's right. He knows who he is. Anyways, he worked at Collector's Connection, and they have copies of his book there that he autographed. I picked up one called Bad Guy. I will have to, again, I haven't got a chance to read it, but, you know, I like to support that. I also picked up another one called Captain Artichoke. He has the mind of a man and the heart of an artichoke by John Holman and Ryan Patrick. Book one. I believe I saw this at SpringCon. I just, one of those things I remember seeing and I went back, never could find it. But they had a copy of it up there at Collector's Connection, autographed by both the guys, and I do love autograph books and I do love that. They have lots of dollar books up there, and I picked up a couple, I'm not sure if I have, from the Marvel Romance Redux. Guys and Dolls number one, and Restraining Orders Are for Other Girls number one.
I love those books.
Well, for a buck, I mean, the covers are fun. I went through a couple. These are the only two I found, so I picked them up. I'm looking forward to it. And then, as you folks know, I like giveaway comics, and they had one that caught my attention. And I'm going to open it up because I'm not sure when the date is. It's Little Abner and the Creatures from Drop Outer Space. It's a Job Corps program book. And, I do not see. Wow. It's inside. There's a card. It says Job Corps opportunity card. I am interested in Job Corps. Print name, address, no stamp needed. You just drop it in and it's paid for. It's got a copyright new syndicate, but it doesn't have, any year on it. I'll have to do some research on this, but it basically is cartoon. It talks about how cool the Job Corps is. This is probably in fair shape. The cover's kind of detached. It's got a little damage to it, but it is kind of cool. And just one of the many giveaways that they've given. It's got a signed letter from Little Abner Yoakum. Dear Reader in different font sizes, D-E-E-R-R-E-E-D-E-R, typed by hand. So the big thing about this particular one is it's got Frank Frazetta art in it. So it's probably one of the ones that he did. Maybe the cover definitely is Al Cap, but the art inside is probably Frank Frazetta. From there, we went up, had a family reunion on the North Shore, which was a lot of fun up in Ely, Minnesota. When I got back, you know, we talked about what we did, you know, when we found out Nick passed away. And, after getting reacclimated, getting ready to go back to work, I cranked up eBay, sold a couple things. Archie meets Kiss variant covers. Was that last year or year before? They did a four-part crossover with Kiss, and I picked up the variant covers. I also sold a Mars Attack Zombies versus Robots, the Cerebus variant cover. What they had done with the main book is Mars Attacks versus Zombies and Robots, and then they had variant covers signed by people that don't normally do variant covers. And this one was done by Dave Sim, obviously. Why, the reason I mention this is because both these items I had on my normal eBay site, and I accepted a best offer on them. So while I don't have my auctions up and running, I probably will in the next couple weeks. If you see anything you're interested in, make a best offer. Hell, if you even send me a note saying you listen to the store, I may even let you lowball me for, you know, a decent redhead pitcher and some pie. Yes, I'm horning in on Corey's action.
How dare you? How dare you, sir?
I know. Last couple days we had a goodbye party for Dana. I drank some of the wine I picked up at the aforementioned winery. They had a, actually, I take that back. It was previous to that because we went to a place and I picked up some crabapple wine and it was pretty sweet. So I drank that mostly myself and had a red apple ale and, a little bit of, I wasn't feeling any pain that night. Dana took off the next day. I had put a couple hours of work at overtime and they allowed me to stay with her at the gate, get her off and running. And, Then somebody bothered me and said, hey, we haven't done a podcast. You want to do a podcast? Again, let's do a podcast. And Chris is like, oh, God, are you going to do a podcast? And I'm going to do a podcast. So I'm doing a podcast. How about you, Corey? What have you done in the last 2 weeks besides get a restraining order from Christina Hendricks?
Well, I'm older. I had a birthday.
You did?
I'm older than I've ever been.
Oh, man.
And now
you're almost dead.
I'm even older. Well, closer to death.
Yeah.
1 year closer to death.
1 age closer to death. Oh, I better not do that. We'll owe Pink Floyd some money.
Now, here's the thing. You saw Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Joe, did you know that you could go see Wings?
Usually when I go up to Buffalo Wild Wings. I
no,
like
Wings.
Homeless.
They're on tour.
They are. Wait a minute. Does Paul know about this?
I don't know. I doubt he cares.
Well, if Linda's on there, I mean, yeah, granted, she's probably pretty inexpensive to tour with, but I mean.
Hey now!
Hey now. Too soon?
The British Invasion 50th Anniversary Tour isn't coming anywhere near us. Mm. Hmm. But they've been talking about it constantly on my favorite channel on Sirius, Underground Garage. Mm-hmm. And you know, here's this person. You haven't heard of them. They maybe had one hit. And Wings! Really? And I guess they do get together every once in a while and go on tour. But if I remember right, none of them sang.
Mm.
So do they just play the instruments and recording of Paul McCartney, or God only knows what they do.
Well, Paul must know about it. You get a piece of the action somehow.
Well, I had a comic book type theme birthday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I had the day off, and I decided I'm going to go do stuff that I've wanted to do but haven't had time. So I started the day by getting up bright and fluffy and went to Jim's Apple Farm. You know what Jim's Apple Farm has, Joe?
Apples.
No, they don't have any apples yet.
Oh, and that's false advertising.
It is the largest candy store in Minnesota.
Oh, you went.
They have 175 kinds of root beer.
Oh. You know, a friend of mine at
the Rat Bastard root beer is $1.75 a bottle.
A friend of mine at work was telling me about this.
It's the length of at least 2 football fields. I got there at 10:30 on Sunday morning, and it was so packed that you would have to wait as people moved through. I was able to get Zagnut bars. I was able to get T-berry gum. I was able to get squirrel nut zippers. They had candy cigarettes. Ooh. They had British candy. They had German candy. They had Dutch candy. They had the world's largest gummy bear, which I picked up and good Lord. I wouldn't want to know anybody who'd eat it. And my son looked at it and said, you know, I have a friend who buys these to test his guns. Because you shoot into it and how far it goes in shows. Yeah, so they had an entire wall of bacon products.
Bacon candy, I gotta get some bacon soda.
They had every weird kind of soda you could think of. They had a lot of the Jones Christmas, you know, the turkey soda, the creamed corn soda. You name it, it's there. It was amazing. And I need to find out when on the weekend there aren't a lot of people because I want to go again. But it took us about an hour and a half to go through the place because there were just so many people.
And you went on Sunday?
Yeah, we went on a Sunday morning.
Huh.
And on the way back, because it is between Belle Plaine and Jordan, we stopped at Hot Comics Jordan.
Wait a minute. Are you horning in on my action here?
What do you mean?
I'm the guy who visits comic stores. You sit back and you know all sorts of arcane and useless trivia about comic books. If you start visiting comic stores, I'll have nothing to contribute to the podcast.
You'll have to learn arcane, stupid trivia about comic books, Joe.
Oh, all right.
So I go to Hot Comics Jordan, which is in delightful downtown Jordan, which is anything but delightful. It kind of looks like, well, it looks like a small town. It's one of those towns where it used to have people living there and doing stuff, and now they sell antiques at almost every store, which is usually a sign that there's nobody under the age of 40 living in the town. So we go in. He's got a lot of comic posters in the window, and what it is, I talked to the owner, whose name I can't remember because I'm terrible with names. But he kept saying that it was a boutique store. And a lot of it was he took the stuff from the other Hot Comics and that had not sold and had it there. All the back issues were $2 each. They had a nice rack of $5 graphic novels. They had some of the, you know, the more current stuff, the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, the Thanos stuff, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff. Most of their graphic novels that were regular price were what movie tie-ins, you know, Transformers stuff, yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff. Because he says a lot of the people who come in are coming for the arcade and the used video games. But they have to walk through the comic shop to get to the used video games and parts of the arcade. So a lot of them will look at stuff and buy it. So he's dealing with a lot of new customers, a lot of people who haven't bought comic books before, which I think is a very cool idea. It is set up as kind of a neighborhood hangout. There's the part of the store that's the comic shop. He sells used video games. And he also has an arcade. Vintage video games. You pay $5, you can play all day. And if you live in the area, you pay the $5. You can play for a while. You can go home. You can come back. They also have like a monthly membership. It reminded me of Hot Comics back in the day, because he had like three scrubs who were working on video games. They didn't know comics that well, but they were, you know, they had the old X-Men game, a big console version that they had taken apart and were cleaning and repairing. They had a lot of games. Now the first level, they had a couple, I forget what they're called, but basically they're old arcade machines that have been refurbished to play a lot of different games. So they had the original Mario Brothers, not Super Mario Brothers, Mario Brothers. But if you hit the one player button and held it down for 10 seconds, it would bring up a screen, and it had over 100 old games in it.
Oh yeah, I've seen those before. They went back when we used to, every so often you'll get like a Sears specialty catalog and they'll have like Midway arcade games that have everything in it.
Yeah.
And they're, but they, I mean, they're like about $5,000-$6,000, some of the better ones.
Yeah. They had, the most recent game was, I don't remember the name of it, but it was that game with the virtual reality helmet that you would kind of put on and spin around and basically you were running a turret. I remember those from back when we had GameWorks at, what was that, Block E. But it was mostly games from the 80s. My son played the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game until he beat it.
Funny.
It took him over 2.5 hours. And all the way home, he's like, my hand, my poor hand, because you're just mashing the buttons. They had a Pac-Man game, which had all of the Pac-Man type games in it. And they had the original Space Invaders, which I enjoyed and played for quite a long time. Then you'd go down to the basement where they told you that this was a former bank.
Oh, those are, though I've seen, that's like that Freddy's I went to, and there's a place downtown St. Paul I've been to that were former banks. And they, did they still have the vault?
Yes. Oh, those we'll are get fun. To the vault. But the basement had a pool table, a ping pong table. They had all of the current consoles with stacks of games that you could play with big screen TVs and couches, and they had more games. And most of the 80s game, late 80s games were down there. So you had, Double Dragon and Contra. And you remember those games where you're one guy fighting through an army of ninjas. Then they had the game that I always find hilarious, Bad Dudes, which is a Double Dragon knockoff. And, you know, they start the game with President Ronnie has been kidnapped by ninjas. Are you a bad enough dude to save the president? And all of the action on it is ultra stiff, and it, you can tell it's just some cheap knockoff of Double Dragon. But they keep saying, you must save President Ronnie! So then, in the vault, they have more games in the vault. And the problem was the games in the vault were games that you've never heard of, and for good reason. Now, if I were running the place, I would have put Space Invaders, I would have put my oldest games in the vault so that it's the vault. But instead, the vault was like, yeah, here's games that nobody wants to play. So they're here, buried away in the dark, where there are no lights, and the door is kind of open. So that's not creepy at all.
No.
The good thing about it was, you know, for $5, if I were 17, I would have bought the month membership and be going there every day if I lived within 10 to 20 miles.
You can't. Okay, that, while you were doing this, I was checking out some stuff online. Like the Minnesota largest candy store, it's open seasonally, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day. And Hot Comics Jordan, which by the way is 234 Broadway Street in Jordan, they're open Wednesday through Friday, 3 to 8. But the two important days, Saturday, noon to 8, and Sunday, noon to 5. So sadly, Monday, Tuesday, you'd have to just stay at home and play Pong.
They, of course, did, you not, do need they did not have a Pong machine.
You need days to read comic games, books, too. So they're looking out
one
for
of them, one of the multi-arcade machines you could play Pong on.
Oh.
So I could have played Pong. Well, you couldn't.
That's brilliant.
Now, the good thing about it was, like I said, it's a nice hangout. The teenagers had, who were working there knew their stuff. They were talking games, vintage games. The games are well maintained. Some of them, the screens are faded because, come on, these are 20, 30-year-old video games. The problem was they're doing a lot of the repair out where everybody can see it, and they really don't clean the place very well. So it felt a little scuzzy. It felt a little, and with the games, you know, the screens looking the way they did, it felt kind of run down, which, you know, arcades in the 80s, most of them were kind of scuzzy. They usually felt a little run down. The comic side was cramped, but, you know, you could get around, you could see stuff. But if you've got more than six people on the comic book side, you wouldn't be able to move. But still, if you're in the area, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the idea of it. It was funny when we went back into the used. I didn't go back into the used video games. My son did, and he came out and he said, "We've got everything that is worth having that they have." Oh, okay. Because I'm big on buying used games dirt cheap, and I have a fairly impressive collection of Xbox 360, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation games. And, you know, as my son says, look, if you don't have it, it's probably either really expensive or nobody cared. So, but it was a lot of fun. It was a fun birthday. And then Sunday night, WWE Network decided they wanted to keep subscribers, so they gave us a kick-ass show.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading a lot of funny books, but we have a letter.
We do.
That we didn't read it on episode. Well, we read part of it on episode 150.
Cool.
Matthew Guy, after he sent in his letter, he had a question at the end, and I thought we'd bring it up today. And it is, if you had to cancel one book at Marvel, DC, and Image, what would it be? So, Joe, you have to cancel one book at Marvel, DC, and Image. What would it be?
See, it's hard to say because most of the books at Image, I don't think I would count because a lot of the books they have being creator-owned, it's up to the creator. Not reading a lot of DC and not reading all the Marvels, it's hard. You know, I pick any book I'm not reading and cancel it. I would think I would probably want to cancel. I'll go one each of X-Men and Avengers because we talked about that a couple weeks ago where it's just there are too many Avenger books. There's too many X-Men books. The same problem. They're starting to do that with the Spider-Man books. I mean, geez, Spider-Man. Now Spider-Man 2099. Now Spider-Man and the Edge of their Spideyverse.
The Spideyverse stuff is limited.
Yeah, I know. It's five issues, but still. It's like there's almost too much going on. Or even the, you know, the Spider-Man 1.5. And now Superior Spider-Man's coming back for one extra visit. I would just basically pick one of each and cancel it. And nowhere in particular. I mean, Avengers World, I never saw a reason for it. Don't read it. I think they're canceling Wolverine and X-Men, so I guess I don't have to pick on that book, but the same reason you don't have to have 25 Deadpool books, but I mean, it's like way too many. I mean, I just get to the point where like, if I can't read it in one book, even when FF and Fantastic Four were out, I kind of skipped FF because I was like, no reason for it. Besides, the world needs quarter books too. I'll pick them up there. I'd rather see more off the wall books like Silver Surfer, Hawkeye, or get some names and interesting things going like, they did with Superman, like they're doing on Justice League. You know, just try to get things going. If it doesn't work, get rid of it, start over, but you don't need to throw out another franchise book. How about you, Mr. Strode?
Well,
chop chop, who are you cutting?
Well, the first thing is every book is somebody's favorite. So I would look at what's selling the least. There are too many Avengers books. Okay. What one's selling the worst? Secret Avengers? Okay. Guess Secret Avengers wrap that up.
Bye-bye.
With the X-Men.
Yeah, let them wrap it up or dump it into another Avenger book. You know, Marvel used to do that, you know, to be continued in. Maybe never. The one issue Ghost Rider took, 10 years to come out?
Yeah. with over at DC. They've had that Justice League of America book, which debuted with the 50 state covers, mm-hmm. and then they canceled it and started it again, and now they're canceling it and starting it again. It sold a whole lot of copies because it had all the variant covers, but it drops like a stone. People don't want a B-list Justice League book. And I think when you do a B-list Justice League book, you really dilute the brand, and you don't want to do that with the Justice League. The reason it sells so well is because these are DC's heavy hitters. And it amazes me that they always forget that. The only time the Justice League has ever sold when it's not been Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, and the Martian Manhunter is when it was by J.M.D. Mattias and Keith Giffen and Kevin Maguire and Adam Hughes when they were doing that version of the Justice League. Dan Jurgens came in, carried through the same cast without the humor. Pfft, no one cared. No one still cares. After when they did Justice League Detroit, pfft, no one cares. They did the when Grant Morrison brought back the Justice League, and it was the seven main characters, and then Mark Waid, and then this guy, and then it became, oh, Superman's leaving, and Batman's leaving, and we're going to substitute. No. Justice League should be, these are DC's heavy hitters, that's it. Over at Image, again, they're creator-owned, although I would look at Spawn. It doesn't sell. Todd McFarlane's listed as writer, but from what everybody says, he calls the artist and basically says, you know, hashes out half an idea, and the artist does everything. So I don't really... I understand they like having Spawn because it's got that huge number on it. It's now I think it's the biggest number of a comic being published. Mm-hmm. Are you like underwater over there?
No, I dug out some coupons for the Star Trek exhibit.
Ah. But does anybody read Spawn? Does anybody care anymore? There was a rumor at San Diego that they were going to announce that Grant Morrison would become the writer of Spawn.
I would get my interest.
Yeah, but. Are people going to pick up issue 229 of Spawn with Grant Morrison as writing it, or are people going to pick up issue number one, Grant Morrison Spawn? We're programmed to that now.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, because this brings up a lot of questions about books being canceled. And one of the things Mark Evanier has said, every time he talks about a book being canceled. Every time. Now, here's a guy who worked with Jack Kirby starting in 1970, so he knows a little bit about comic books. The only reason a comic book is ever, ever canceled is because it's not selling. Now, it could be that, like in the case of Next Wave, it sold about 40,000 copies. But you had Warren Ellis and, gosh, I forget who the artist was, but they were top dollar talent. So it wasn't selling well enough to pay them in the book to make a profit. Or John Byrne always whines about the X-Men The Hidden Years was canceled. It was the lowest selling X-Men book. It was just about the lowest selling Marvel book. It's set in the past, it's continuity implants, and they're gearing up for a second X-Men movie. You know what, John? If that book was selling 80,000 copies, it would have continued to be published. It was selling 30,000. 30,000 is just barely above the profitable line. Now, they could take all the resources that they used on a barely profitable book and try something else that might make a lot more profit. Also, something that can be trade paperbacked and amortize the cost. The way Byrne told his stories, he didn't tell, okay, here's a 5-part story, here's a 3-part story, here's this. Nope, it was one long, continuous story that always had another cliffhanger, which is why it hasn't been traded. You've got to think, a book has to make a profit. And if it doesn't make a profit, it's going to get canceled. I hear, oh, you know, it's because of politics. It's because this editor didn't like this writer. Nope. Only time a book is ever canceled is it did not sell well enough. Spider-Woman's a great example. Brian Michael Bendis on Spider-Woman went 6 issues. Why? It didn't sell well enough to pay for Brian Michael Bendis's page rate. Joe, what are your thoughts on canceled comics?
Well, the world needs quarter books too. Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's one thing to try something different. I think sometimes maybe Marvel is jumping into the well. If one Avenger book sells well, let's do 12. And maybe they'll say, well, this allows us to do some of these more offbeat books and see what sells. But, you know, really, Marvel, if you just want to make a boatload of money, just take your Infinity concept that you're using for the games and just cross everything over. Pixar, Marvel, Cars, Disney, Star Wars, Muppets. Yeah, it's going to happen. Just do it, you know. But the thing is, they probably make more money in video games doing it. Right? I mean, you think about it. Even if they did a great book like that, they can only do 12 issues a year unless they do 101 cop. Or, like what they're doing now is they're publishing 2 books a month of different titles, which is equally annoying, but what you gonna do, brother? As long as it's by the same creator team and no fill-ins, I guess I'm good.
That's my feeling. I'm okay with it because usually when a creator comes on a book at Marvel, they're going to tell a story. It's going to be, all right, I have 36 or 40 or however many issues I want to do. And Marvel, they put out books weekly. I remember when Superman was weekly, people didn't complain that, oh, Superman, they're putting out, this book comes out way too often. People were like, oh, cool, all the Superman books cross over into each other. Mm-hmm. Or Batman, when it was Batman and Detective, and the story would start at Batman and go to Detective and back and forth. You didn't have people, oh, Batman comes out twice a month. No, it was, oh, cool, now I can read the story faster. I think a lot of the whining about stuff like that is very much fans on the internet complaining. It's like when everybody complained about $3.99 books. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? 5 years ago, when you looked at the top 10, all but one of the books in the top 10 was a $3.99 book. So all the people who, I won't buy a book that's $3.99. Well, there are enough people who are. The publishers have to go by what sells. I'm not going to say they ignore the fans online.
Or better yet, what you buy.
Yeah.
If you like it, buy it. Put it on your sub list. Or if you really like it, do like Corey did when I had Crazy Comics with Walking Dead. I said, you buy 5 extra copies. If they don't sell, I'll buy them from you. You know, just get it on the shelf, get it promoted somehow.
And that's how to keep the books you love from being canceled. Superior Foes of Spider-Man, its sales are lousy.
And not canceled yet.
And you know, when they say stuff like that, it's like, it's awful close. Yeah. And they're telling you, buy this book. If you like this book, buy this book. So if you like a book, talk about it online. Get on your fire-breathing Twitter machine, and say, hey, the new issue of Superior Foes of Spider-Man is awesome. You should buy it. When you're at the shop, if you're, you know, talking to people, say, hey, have you tried this book? You should really try this book. It's really good. Post about it on your Facebook. Tell your friends. Word of mouth is the best advertising in comics. Hawkeye has never been able to maintain a series. Ever. And when the new series came out, it did the typical, okay, it sold this many copies. Then issue 2 dropped about 30%, and issue 3 dropped about 20 more percent. So by the third issue, it's selling half of what it's sold. And the sales continue to go down, but word of mouth and people on podcasts and people on Facebook and people everywhere started talking about it. And that trend reversed itself, and it has been able to sell. It's not one of Marvel's best sellers, but it's an upper mid-card book. Same with Daredevil. Daredevil came out, did the normal pattern. Word got out that it was good. People were talking about it all the time. And again, it's not a bestseller, but it's an upper mid-card book, and the sales don't go down. But you have to tell people. You have to be vocal about it. You have to support the book. We've talked all the time. Issue 8 of Sandman. I was a retailer at the time. We got a letter from the publisher, Jeanette Kahn, who said, "This book, if trends continue, will be canceled within 5 issues. We don't want that to happen. Please up your orders." And issue 8, they shipped extra to the shops. The shops sold it. And once it got into trades, that's where it made its money. So, now, Joe, when you owned a comic shop, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about when you owned a comic shop and you heard that a book was either canceled or about to be canceled. What did you do with your orders?
Oh, I cut them to the bone. Bad to the bone. Just right. I mean, there was no way. And there were a few exceptions. I mean, like the last couple issues of Moon Knight, because Stephen Platt was going insane. But for the most part, yeah, if I knew a book was canceled, it was just, I'd try to maybe one on the shelf and hope it gets rid of it. One thing I never did that I always wanted to was do like a canceled comic cavalcade and just put out every issue of the book I had and just say, okay, guys, half price. Now, I'm not talking books like Sandman, which had an ending, or Cerebus, which we knew had an ending. Just books like Out of the Blue that got canceled. What I found more annoying was, especially in terms with comics that weren't from the big 3 or 4 at the time. When I had the shop, that would have been DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Image. Sometimes a book would just disappear. You knew you had 4 or 5 issues ordered, and it would just be gone. And you'd never hear from it again. And I'd be like, do I want to hang on to this in my files in case a copy shows up or it's resolicited, or should I just let it go? You know, and some books were just impossible, like Fathom was just impossible because you knew it would come out, but it wasn't monthly. God knows when it would come out. So, but if I knew for a fact, and right now it's a lot easier to figure out when things get canceled, with especially with all the internet and things like that. You know, if I suddenly I realize Incredible Surfing Buttholes is going to be canceled with issue number 20, and we're on issue 15, well, then I start going back. If I order 5 and I sell 4, I'll probably go to 4 and sell them all. Maybe I'll go to 3 and sell them all. Maybe I'll go to 2 and just, you know, there's no sense hanging on to it because, like I said, the world may need quarter books, but by God, I didn't want it coming out of my inventory.
Could not agree more. One of the things about when a book got canceled, I remember at Schindler's, one of the things that we would see is if Marvel was going to cancel something, the back issues would start to spike as people would go, oh, I'll fill in my collection before it ends. At DC, it was more once they announced a book was canceled or there was a rumor that it was canceled, people quit picking it up off the shelf because Schindler's didn't have a pull and hold system. Because our store did very well with Suicide Squad, but nobody else did. I think whatever store I worked in would sell as many copies of Suicide Squad as the rest of the chain. Because I loved that book and I would push it onto people. But one of the things DC would do is if a book was in trouble, they'd raise the price because, well, okay, it's got to make a profit, so we'll raise the price. So all the other comics are $1.50. it jumped to 195, and they didn't change the paper or anything. And that was usually a sign that the book was about 6 months away from ending. And that would just kill a book. Because people learn that, oh, that's what they do before they cancel it. So if you would get to a story that ended, you know, you get to the end or the last part of something, that next issue, dead. Because people just, with Marvel, they were completists. With DC, they were just reading it. And for some reason, people didn't want to pick up what they call a lame duck book.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the indies, and it's one of the reasons why I don't buy some indie, I don't buy books by some indie creators, and I tend to get a lot of indie books in trades. I can't tell you how many series I bought where it didn't sell well enough, so they just ended it mid-story. Just, or the creator got a better offer. Or in the case of one book, in a case of a few books, the creator just kind of got bored and just quit doing the book and left. So, oh, yeah, I've got 7 issues of an uncompleted story. Chester Brown's Underwater is the one that always burns my ass because he was doing a very complicated story and you went off his reputation because the first issue was like, I don't know what the hell's going on here. And you read the second issue and it'd be, okay, I'm starting to figure it out. And I think like the fifth, I don't remember how long the series went, but as it went on, you kind of started figuring it out. Oh, okay, this is the story from the perspective of a newly born baby. And it's starting to figure out that these shapes are people, and it's starting to figure out that these sounds are words. And I guess either it didn't sell or he lost interest or whatever, and done. Didn't announce it was canceled, didn't announce anything. It just quit coming out, and then, you know, 6-7 months later, oh, he's got a new book. Well, screw that. I'm not going to buy it if he's going to pull that crap again. Seth, who I really enjoy his work. He, one of his trade paperbacks is probably my favorite comic book story of the 90s, and that is It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken. So his next one, he's doing Clyde Vans, which is the story of this fan manufacturer in Canada. And I said, well, I'm not going to buy it. I'll buy it in hardcovers. I buy hardcover volume 1. And that was over 10 years ago. Where's volume 2? He's doing New Yorker covers. He's got better things to do than finish this story that I've already paid $25 for the first part of. Nope. I ain't buying it till you're done. You've proven that if I give you money, you may not finish your story. So. Well, that's enough of a rant.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah, so Joe, freaking and geeking, what you freaking on? What's burning your hide? What burns your ass other than a flame about 3 foot tall?
Let's see, freaking, Ebola, Gaza Strip, ISIS, Ferguson, let's see, Rob Williams, Lauren Bacall, Don Pardo, Arlene Mardell, you know, she played to bring on Star Trek, Tiger on Hogan's Heroes, didn't have no balls to go up and say hi at the Las Vegas convention when I saw her. I got nothing I'm freaking on. Corey, what are you freaking on?
I had a really, really, really long weekend at work last weekend.
Ugh.
I went to work at 7 a.m. on Saturday. And what was supposed to happen was I was to work until 5. Come back at 10, sleep until 7 in the morning, get up and do a shift till 3. That didn't happen. I worked until 5, even though the entire day they're saying, can you stay, 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 can you stay? But I did come in early, and when I came in, it's, we don't have a sleep staff. I mean, we don't have an awake staff. Why? Well, I have learned why, and it has to do with being arrested. but they didn't have an awake staff. And I said, well, that's not good because, I've been up since 7 this morning and I'm supposed to work till 3 tomorrow afternoon. That will mean that I will be up for 34 hours in a row. And I forget what the legal thing is, but at a certain point, if you've worked a certain number of hours in a 24-hour period, it's illegal for you to do many of the things that we're supposed to do. So I said, all right, I've got to get some sleep. I've got to get at least 2 to 3 hours of sleep. And tomorrow I cannot pass medication and I cannot drive a company vehicle because it will not be safe. I will not have slept enough. So they were able to, I was supposed to be sleeping for about 3 hours, but we had a couple of the residents who were up and wandering around. So you can't sleep until they're in bed. So I really wasn't able to get to bed till around midnight. And then at 1 in the morning, the awake staff who can't pass meds woke me up and said, this person needs an emergency medication. Can you give them their emergency medication? So I did all the paperwork, got them their emergency medication, laid back down. And I think maybe I got about 15 minutes more sleep before up, gotta get up. You gotta finish your shift awake. Now, remember how I said it would not be legal or safe for me to pass medication or drive a company vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock. Corey, can you pass medications? No.
No.
It would be a violation of the law, and I'm not going to break the law. Can you drive residents to church? No. All day. I was at, can you drive, you know, people here? Can you drive people there? And they got mad at me when I said no. And I would say, it is now 30 hours that I have been awake with about an hour and a half of sleep. You do not want me driving a company vehicle where I have to pay attention to what's going on in the vehicle, pay attention to the road, and drive somewhere I've never been before. That's just, it's not safe. So eventually, one of the supervisors who never works in the houses came in and, you know, helped out with the shift because we were that shorthanded. So she's the one who drove everybody to go play bingo.
Bingo!
I was left behind with the residents who really...
Bingo?
They wouldn't be able to play bingo.
Oh, bingo.
They either wouldn't understand the game
bingo.
Or anything like that. So we have one who's an elderly woman who's never, she's never been able to be verbal. She's that low functioning. And she's at the point now where, you know, Joe, when you put on your shirt and for a minute it's like, oh, I can feel the shirt on my skin. And then you very quickly ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
She never hits that point.
Ugh.
So every so often she's trying to take her shirt off and she'll take her shirt off. And the other one is one of the residents I've talked about before. I'll just call him Bob. And Bob has a language of about 20 words and it's very picky about things. Well, I brought in a Three Stooges. I have the complete Three Stooges and I bring it in because he laughs at that. He likes when people beat each other up. He thinks it's funny.
I am Groot.
So they're in the living room with the TV on and that, and I'm making lunch. And all of a sudden, I hear Bob say, oh, no, oh, no, 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 no. And I run in because I'm thinking, oh, did he fall out of his chair? Is somebody hurt? Did something happen? And what it was, the woman had her shirt off and was waving it over her head as if it were a flag. And he's got his eyes covered up yelling, no, 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 no.
So, poor old Bob.
I don't think I'll be taking Bob to a strip club.
Nope. Take him to House on the Rock. See what he thinks.
So I got home. I was barely awake. Slept for about 2 hours. Woke up, watched SummerSlam. Was very happy. You know why I was happy when I watched SummerSlam, Joe?
Because you were happy.
I'm going to give spoilers. You know what the match between John Cena and Brock Lesnar was? Brock Lesnar beat the piss out of him for 20 minutes.
Which was funny because when I watched it, and I sat down with my nephew, who's a big John Cena fan, and he was moaning. I can't believe it. That John Cena got beat down for 20 minutes.
Now, you watched it, right?
I watched the actual match. Yeah, I was able to.
The crowd was cheering every time Lesnar beat on Cena.
Except the kids, because kids don't scream loud enough.
There was one kid. Watch it again. You'll hear one kid. Let's go, Cena! Cena's down, you know, and it just. And Lesnar's standing over him laughing and getting ready to beat him again. And the kids, let's go, Cena! One lone voice.
Hey, you gotta be yourself. What can you say?
I know, that poor kid. Geeking, Joe, what are you geeking on? What are you loving? What's making your spine a tingle?
Ooh, well, I finally got my subscription started for Entertainment Weekly. It was a low blow. They were offering a free Marvel carry bag, so I got it and for $40 for 2 years, and I got my Mighty Thor carry bag, which of course Holly immediately absconded with. So, but the point is, I did get it. I am enjoying Entertainment Weekly. And what was pleasantly surprised is my first issue, don't they number these things? Oh wow, number 1324, which had, it was a dual cover that had Julia Louis-Dreyfus on it doing, Frank Underwood from House of Cards. Although I much rather have had Kevin Spacey's cover, doing the Veep. And then, of course, the next one I got was with Robin Williams. But they actually went back and gave me the Comic-Con double-issue preview from, like, two weeks earlier. So I was actually kind of pleased to see that because that's the one they advertised it. I don't know if they just had extras floating around or what the deal was, but I was, like, surprised to see that. Finished reading back issue 74, which again had a discussion of Fantastic Four in the Bronze Age, which also went up and included some of John Byrne's stuff, which is probably why when I got to the comic store in Stevens Point, I saw the omnibus and I was thinking, nah, yeah, I should get it because I don't have the issue. Nah, yeah, but then I got to carry that heavy thing with me. Nah, I'm buying it. So. More importantly, Dana, upon leaving for Italy, left me two short boxes of comics with the explicit instructions not to touch them.
And you've read them all, haven't you?
That's not going to happen, Dana. Sorry. I'll be sharing with you folks some of the things I find in Dana's boxes. On the eBay purchase-wise, I picked up a couple variants. Mile High Comics had a couple variants, Guardians of the Galaxy number 1 and Guardians of the Galaxy number 5, the one with First Angela. And it's interesting because we talked a bit about how he was talking about how he was having a tough time at San Diego because people come to San Diego not necessarily to buy from him, but to buy and stock up on all the variants and exclusives that everybody seems to offer. A lot of these exclusives I've seen at the source. They're all selling them at cover price. But Mile High sells them, and as they sell them, they up the price on them. So it was really kind of interesting. I mean, he had the number one I was able to buy at $9.95, but he's offering it for $20 on his website. And the number 5 I picked up at $14.95, which they had for like $25 on their website. So I just thought it was odd on eBay it was cheaper. And they offer free shipping, so that was kind of cool. Speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, I finally zeroed in on the one thing that I would probably buy on eBay from there. I'm still looking for the Homer Simpson mobile, but it seems to be running upwards of $100, and I want to play with it, so I'm not going to pay $100 to open it. But I did pick up a 2012 exclusive Marvel Comics Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. promotional comic book. And basically what they're doing is, they're all standing in front of, whatever the brand of comic book they had. I think it's a Lexus they drive around in. So it was a Lexus promotional comic book, and it's under the custom edition print, which I picked up various ones, and they're all over eBay. So, I mean, if you want to pick one up, they're not terribly expensive, but I just thought it was kind of cool. Last thing I'm geeking on, and this is a future geek. They announced the price of the Batman TV show, the 66 version, coming up in November. Ho, I'm on it. So that'll be my geek come November. Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you chilling? What's got you happier than being in a hot tub with the lovely Christina feeding you pie and giving you a Swedish foot rub?
Joe, did you pick up Thanos, the Infinity Imperative?
I believe it's on my way.
I'm sorry, the Infinity Revelation. The Infinity Revelation.
It's on its way.
It is a original graphic novel by Jim Starlin.
Oh, yeah, I did order it then. It should probably be whenever my next box is.
It reminds me of why I like Jim Starlin using the Marvel Cosmic characters. Now, Marvel Cosmic went through, you know, we had the Annihilation stuff, which I loved. We've got the current stuff with Guardians of the Galaxy that I love. But there's something about Jim Starlin playing with Marvel's big concepts that always makes for a great story. And this is a great story. The other Marvel graphic novel that I read, the Avengers one by Warren Ellis, it was okay. This one is worth the money. It's Jim Starlin, whose art has never looked better. And he puts such detail into the stuff. There's stuff going on in the back. This is the guy who does Marvel Cosmic the way I like it. It was like going back to right after he finished Warlock or the first Infinity Gauntlet. It's that same feel. It feels big. The only thing is he's setting up stuff for later on. And after listening to him talk about how, you know, he wasn't allowed to use certain characters after this, he should have said, all right, I'm just going to do a self-contained story rather than set up a bunch of stuff for later. I think with the original graphic novels, you need to think, this is going to go on a shelf. People should just be able to pick it up, read it, done in one. But well worth the money. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And if you are trying to save some money when it comes out in paperback, buy the damn thing. This is Jim Starlin doing Thanos. There's nothing better. The next book I read, the original Captain Victory was one of Kirby's books he did over at Pacific. It was an idea for a movie that didn't sell. It's not one of my favorite Kirby works. There's a lot of creativity in it, but the stories... Jack wasn't doing very well when this book came out. Dynamite tried to do a Kirbyverse a few years ago. It kind of fell apart. So they gave Captain Victory and the Galactic Rangers to Joe Casey, who did the book Godland. Oh my God, the first issue's amazing. It's very Kirby-esque in that he's throwing out tons of ideas and tons of new concepts and stuff. And just, okay, see if you could keep up. See if you could figure out where we're going. We're just going to keep throwing ideas at you. Excellent, excellent book. If you're a Kirby fan in any way, go out and buy it. Now, the thing is, most times when they do a Kirby-esque book, the artist tries to draw exactly like Kirby, down to the squiggles and the Kirby dots. Nope. This book doesn't look like any other book on the stands. It's unique. It's well written. I'm excited about where it's going. I picked up the first two issues of Rocket Raccoon by Scotty Young. Way too much fun. way too much fun. Scotty Young, who's been doing a lot of work on Marvel's Oz books, now he's doing stuff over in the Marvel Universe. The Rocket Raccoon book, excellent book. Lot of humor, lot of action. He really captures the Rocket Raccoon character as he is now. Because if you go back to the original Rocket Raccoon, he's kind of a bland character. And now where he's, you know, kind of this mercenary who enjoys killing. A lot of fun. I did pick up the Star-Lord trade paperback. Star-Lord, again, is a character who's changed a lot. And if you read this trade paperback, it's very 70s. And the character worked that way back then. But I think if you brought it back, it would be like wearing platform shoes and going to the disco. It just wouldn't work now. But they're fun stories. And one of the things Marvel has over DC right now is their trade paperback stuff. They really are putting together interesting packages of stuff that's pretty hard to find. DC is just reprinting the new 52 stuff. And anything that's not that is high dollar. I think the Batman Tales by Len Wein was like $50. And they're good, but they're not $50 worth of good. This was a big, huge, thick book that reprinted stuff you're not going to be able to find, because most of it was in Marvel's black and white magazines. If you're a nostalgia buff, you'll like it. If you're reading it going, I want it to be like the character in the movie, you don't. And then the last comic thing I have, now that I'm able to buy from Discount Comic Book Service again, I'm picking up some archives. I've gotten the first two volumes of Crime Does Not Pay.
It doesn't?
The notorious 40s and 50s crime comic.
Don't people tell me these things.
Joe, the comic lasted over 100 issues. You should know Crime Does Not Pay.
Guys, put the whale back. Yeah, it's not going to pay.
This is not a book for somebody who wants... This is not, you know, modern age stuff. But these are comics that have never been reprinted, because this is... For all the talk about how EC caused the comics code, Crime Does Not Pay was the biggest selling comic that wasn't called Walt Disney's Comics and Stories through the 40s and 50s. They would routinely put on the cover that they had 5 million readers, 7 million readers. It was the first big crime comic. And for the Golden Age, it's well drawn. The stories are interesting. They're old, and they read like old comics. But compared to a lot of stuff, they're kind of like one step above, which is probably why they lasted so long. And if you read through, you'll see some art by George Tuska, who later went on to draw at Marvel. The last thing I'm geeking on, my son has been rearranging the house.
Randomly or in some type of order?
In some type of order. And what he has said is he wants to be able to get to, you know, I've got all this stuff, but over the years it's been put in boxes, and he wants to get to it, and he wants me to be able to get to it. So he took his old bedroom, ripped up the carpet, fixed the floor, built shelves, and now I will be putting pictures up this weekend. He's starting to build shelves around the room for the Marvel Essentials, for the DC Showcases, for the DC Archives, for the Marvel omnibuses I have, for all of these collections.
Omnibuses.
And when I look at it, it's like, wow, this is really impressive. Now, I've got a whole lot more to go on the shelves, but, Joe, I have a fairly impressive collection.
Yes.
It's kind of frightening.
Yes.
And that's what I'm geeking on. Well, believe it or not, kids, you've spent an hour and a half listening to us blather on about funny books.
You don't happen, with all your stuff, you don't happen to have a spare, like, 2-3 million I can borrow, do you?
Sadly, no. Ugh. I'm still just a contractor.
Damn.
Why do you think I had to work 30-some hours at the group home this weekend?
Well, I guess...
I gotta pay for these funny bucks.
This is the second time I will be missing a chance to buy Action Comics number one. You know, the first one was in the 70s for about 50 bucks. Now there's a 9.9 CGC graded one going on eBay through High Grade Magic Pristine Comics. And right now it's at $2,100,000. $2,100,000. It's a lot of zeros. But since Corey's not going to float me alone, I guess it's another one that's going to pass us by.
I just want the ROM Mighty Mugs toy from San Diego.
That is going for about $100.
I see some of them here for like 50.
Let's see. Whoa, they're dropping $25.99, $23.99.
Hey now!
Yep. You can, and those are buy it now prices. So Corey, you can get one the minute you feel like it.
Ooh, hey now.
Yeah, and everybody else has them around $39 to $49. So sure. He can get his ROM. I can't get my Homer. Damn.
Well, if you wait long enough, there's one for $23.
Yep. I would buy it now, but I'm after something else right now.
Well, the problem is the money that I would spend on that now, I wouldn't be able to spend on the other thing that I'm going to be. You know how I worked a whole lot this weekend? I'm going to waste that paycheck Friday, Joe.
Uh-oh. Doing what?
Best Buy is having a sale.
Another one.
All of the Criterion DVD and Blu-rays are half price.
Sweet.
So I'm heading in, and I'm going to spend the whole check on Criterion DVDs. This Criterion puts out DVDs in the same way that DC puts out the Absolutes. They've got tons of extras. They've got multiple commentaries. The one I definitely have to get is It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Mm. 5 Blu-ray discs full of material. New lobby cards drawn by Jack Davis. So ROM will have to wait. Besides, the price will keep going down. By this time next year, people will be selling for $5.
Yeah, no, since I want to open it, I don't care if I get one in the package.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, I'm going to put it on my desk at work. People go, what's that? And I'll just go, nostalgia.
Haven't you heard of computer ROM?
Well, can I say it now?
Sure.
Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books and DVDs and children running away from home.
And, of course, we haven't even talked about Simpsons Tapped Out as a update. Check it out. Some barbarians running around.
Oh. Joe, I just realized something.
What's that?
I'm old enough I could run away from home right now.
Cool. Then I can come in and check out your mighty impressive archives.
Oh, yeah. You'd probably take some of them.
No, I'd just sit and read them.
Okay. Well, there is a weight bench and weights in that room, too.
No, I would just read them.
You're not going to lift weights and read funny books at the same time?
If you leave pie in the fridge, I'll eat that.
All right, there's no way I'll leave pie where you can get to
it. You're damn straight you're not.
Well, as we say every week, a line said by our friend Butch, who had resurfaced. I may just go over to his house and camp in his yard. The comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
Somebody call my mama. Hit my music. I feel like dancing.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
What you got for me?